What was necessary for one to be the Redeemer of men? We find four qualifications required in the teaching of Holy Scripture. Our review of the Bible doctrine of redemption has left one question crying to be answered immediately and distinctly. It is to that question which we turn our attention now. We have seen that to redeem means to set free from bondage. We have seen that to redeem means to set free by the payment of a price. We have seen that to redeem means to set free so that the delivered one will never return to the condition of slavery from which he has been delivered. And we have seen that to redeem means complete, through and through, deliverance of all parts of our human person. But when those concepts of redemption are applied to the condition of man in sin, an important question arises. Who is qualified to do such a work of redemption? The Bible has taught us that mere man cannot redeem another man in the spiritual aspect of the word. So is there any person who is morally and spiritually qualified to be the Savior of sinners? Who can provide eternal redemption for them? Well, praise God, there is such a person. We call his name Jesus. Hebrews 9:11-12 says of him, Christ being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Now notice, Jesus has obtained eternal redemption for us. But that redemptive work of Jesus was no small thing. Even he had to undergo a special qualifying before he became our Savior. Hebrews 5:8-9 reads that though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation to all that obey him. Now what does it mean that Jesus was made perfect so as to become the author of eternal salvation? It means what he did in his coming in human flesh gave him the equipment by which he could save sinners. Now that does not mean he was imperfect before his experiences here, but rather what happened here in his incarnate state made it possible for him to be our Redeemer. Now, what was necessary for one to be the Redeemer of men? We find four qualifications required in the teaching of Holy Scripture. And those four qualifications are set forth in the beautiful pastoral story of Ruth and is recorded in the book which bears her name and is found in the Old Testament Scriptures. The story informs us of the ministry of the kinsman redeemer in ancient Israel. That custom of kinsman redeemer was placed in the society of Bible lands that we might have an illustration today of how Jesus can be our redeemer. But in the book of Ruth, we're introduced to another family before we're introduced to Ruth herself. There was a man named Elimelech, and with his wife Naomi, he lived in Bethlehem with their two sons, Mahlon and Chilion. Famine struck southern Palestine, so the man and his family moved eastward to the land of Moab. The boys grew to manhood in Moab. In due time, the father died, and in due time, the sons both married Moabite women. Now, the wife of one was named Orpah, and the wife of the other was named Ruth. 10 years after their migration to Moab, however, both the sons died. So the mother, Naomi, is left with two widowed daughters-in-law. She decided to return to her home in Bethlehem and instructed her daughters-in-law to return to their original homes. Now Orpah did so, but Ruth refused, choosing rather to cast her lot with Naomi, whom she loved dearly. Now the idea of a kinsman redeemer comes into the picture. There was a man who was a relative of Elimelech. He was a man of great wealth, and it became his duty to redeem the family property and assume protection over the widow of his deceased relative. Naomi sent Ruth to meet him and let him know the need of their household. His actions as a kinsman redeemer for the two women is one of the beautiful stories in the Bible. I recommend you read it in its entirety. Ruth is the 8th book in the Old Testament. But what does it teach us about Jesus as our kinsman redeemer? Well, there are 4 qualifications which a redeemer must meet, and Jesus met them all ideally. He is qualified. First, the redeemer must be a relative of the person whom he would redeem. Now, particular attention is given to the fact that Boaz was a kinsman of Elimelech. Without that relationship, he might have been in full sympathy with Naomi and Ruth, but he could not have fulfilled the duties of a kinsman redeemer. Now, Jesus is related to you and me. For as much as we have flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetimes subject to bondage. Yes, his incarnation was for the purpose of establishing a blood relationship with you and me that he might be our kinsman redeemer. Second, the redeemer must be able to pay the redemption price. The reason Boaz could be a kinsman redeemer for Naomi and Ruth was he was a mighty man of wealth. One gets impression that the household of Elimelech and Naomi had gone into bankruptcy and abject poverty, and that would take a lot of money to rescue them. But the good news of the Christian gospel is that Jesus is able to pay the ransom price for sinners. The price was nothing less than his own life blood as the only begotten Son of God. Not his death as man, but his death of God was what paid the ransom price. He was able and he paid it. Third, the redeemer must be willing to pay the redemption price. Boaz reported to Naomi and Ruth that there was a relative more closely related to them than he. But that nearer relative, though he had first choice, did not want to act as kinsman redeemer, so Boaz gladly took the part. Jesus came into the world to redeem sinners, and he came without hesitation or complaint, saying, "I come to do your will, O God." He could have called more than 12 legions of angels to rescue him and keep him from the cross, but he did not. He suffered for sinners willingly. Number 4, the redeemer must not need the redemption which he would provide for another. One slave could not rescue another slave, nor can one sinner provide spiritual rescue for another sinner. And that's why the Bible makes such emphasis upon the fact that Jesus was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. Since he did not sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, he could carry our sins in his own body on the cross. And therefore his sacrifice was as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Yes, Jesus met the requirements for being our kinsman redeemer, and thus he has become the Savior of those who believe. Now I must conclude this review of the doctrine of redemption with an appeal to you to enter into the benefits of it. You can be set free from sin. God has paid the purchase price. You can be completely saved for time and eternity. Your whole spirit and soul and body saved. And praise God, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. By the act of your will, turn from sin to God. Ask him to save you on the basis of Jesus' death for you. Trust him to do so, and it is done. Knowing the truth of it, enter into the good of it today. Father, we pray that you will sanctify the truth of this study to the hearts of men and women so as to bring them to salvation and assurance through faith in Jesus Christ. For Jesus' sake, amen.